Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. You are listening to Good, You? I'm your host, Samantha, and today I sit down with Chavez and talk about the five love languages. Chavez is a good friend of mine and one of my cohorts from my counseling program, so I'm really excited for y'all to get to know him like I've gotten to know him over the last year and a half or so. So, if y'all haven't taken the Love Languages quiz, there's one available on the 5lovelanguages.com. I can link it to the show notes, and if you want to go take it before listening to the episode to maybe get to know more about yourself, or take it after, whichever you think. So I hope you guys are excited to learn more about it. Let's get started. Okay, so I'm here with Chavez. Chavez, thank you so much for being on. I'm so sorry that it took so long to get you on, but thank you for coming.
Yeah, I appreciate you for having me on your podcast. I really love to be here.
Oh my God, of course. I remember when I had the initial idea of starting the podcast, I was thinking I really wanted to do it with someone, and I was like, it would be so cool to do it with Chavez. And then I was like, I don't want to put that pressure on anyone. But I'm glad to actually have you on. And now you also have a podcast. So yes. How funny is that?
Yes, that is that's been interesting. It's been an interesting process, but yeah, I'm loving it. I really do appreciate you for letting me come in on your podcast and just talk about some things. Cause you know, we have a great flow together. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. Tell us about your podcast. I want everyone on here to go follow Chavez. He is amazing. And trust me, I'll definitely want to listen to his podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My podcast is titled Just Between You and Me. And the title just kind of came from having a conversation with one of my friends, you know, like when you just have somebody to talk to, you know that this person is not going to go tell your business. Like everything that you say to this person is confidential. So that's where the title came from. But my podcast is about my self-care and like self-awareness journey, and just basically learning to do things better in different relationships in my life so that I can live the life that I really want to. Just nothing but positivity.
I love that. It's like your own little journal.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It really just feels like that.
Love that.
Yeah, I like to call everybody that listens to my podcast like my journeys, because we're all on our own separate journeys.
Yes. You know? Absolutely. Do you ever, you know, get in the car? Sometimes I'm like watching other people drive and I'm like, it's so weird that everyone else is living a different life right now. Someone else is going to work, someone's going home, do you ever think that? It's so bizarre.
Yes, I feel like we're all in so many different phases of our lives. And as much as we want people to be where we are, especially like people that are like, you know, friends and family, as much as we want them to be like where we are in our lives, you know, everybody's just on a different journey.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta go through some things to get to some things, so.
Yeah. And that's the benefit of like sharing your story on the podcast. Yes. To share where you are and how you got there. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope everyone who's listening, go follow it, go subscribe, go like it, go leave a review, and it better be 5 stars. And let's talk about how we met. So Chavez and I go to the same counseling program. And we started, it was his second semester. It was my first semester. And you want to take it from there?
Yeah. So I think we had the entire semester together. I had theories with you, and I also had, what was the other class?
Ethics.
No, it wasn't ethics.
Weren't. I was in ethics and theories my first semester, I think.
Okay, so I only had you with one class then. Mm-hmm. Only had you one class. Okay. Yeah, because I took career. I took career and it was online.
Yeah.
So yeah, we met in theories, and I don't know. We've been tight ever since. That's my girl. Honestly, you and Liam were like the first people I like really bonded with in the program.
Yeah,
and that's crazy because y'all came in after me, but our class was so small we didn't have no else choice.
No, we started with a class of four. And me, Chavez, and Liam just really did click. Me, you and Liam clicked immediately. And it's funny because I remember and I tell Liam this, I remember him from our interview day. Mm-hmm. Because he was, I think he was late, and that just made
I'm sure he was.
Absolutely, you know. You already know. And then all of a sudden he disappears, and then he pops back up, and he's like, sorry guys, my internet went out. And I'm like, this man is giving me so much anxiety. And now if y'all know him, like, that it makes sense, and it's so funny. It's just him. But I feel like I've grown so much together in the counseling program, us three. It's like the three musketeers, truly. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to be able to graduate the same semester as
y'all.
Oh my
God, yes. Y'all, we have been through the storms and the rains together, okay? Because baby, practicum was up and down. I am a little sad that I can't see y'all for internship, but you know. Yeah, y'all, I'm on the school counseling track and their clinical mental health, and I miss y'all so much.
I'm so glad we have play, though. We have to keep strong and
yeah,
play.
Most definitely play. Yes. Play gonna hold it down.
And you know what, truly, it's we've relied on each other so much in this program where we just are able to read each other's body language now. You walk in and I know whether or not it's been a good or bad day. You know as well. It's so funny. And at the beginning of the program, they're always like, you know, you're really going to get to know and like love your classmates. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, not really that. Like, I don't know. Like,
I felt the same.
Yeah,
I thought they
were like, are you that strong?
Because I was like, it wasn't like that in undergrad. So they probably just talking. But like, you really become so close to these people.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. It's crazy. It's amazing.
I definitely wouldn't have survived this program without y'all.
Same. Literally same. If I couldn't come and just give you that look of.
I'm saying for real. Like, y'all were my counselors. Okay. Yeah. I just love venting to y'all. Because y'all get it. Y'all are here with me.
Yeah. We're all going through it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the teachers are the same. Like, we've had, you know, gone through the CERN professors together, and we can kind of relate in their curriculum of the course. And maybe share a project or two and show, you know.
You know how they go. Look, we got to help. You see me, I see you. Okay.
I see you. Listen.
And, we're helping each other out.
And that's how we're going to walk together. At the end of the day, that's how we're walking together.
And I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Countdown starts now.
Right now.
So today, Chavez has been wanting to come on and talk about the five love languages. And I know y'all already know because that's probably going to be the episode title. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what you find so interesting about the love languages.
So for me, it's been one of those things that like one of my friends and I, like, we talk about a lot, just because, you know, we try to be better people, especially in terms of the people that we allow into our romantic spaces. And we just would talk about how we want to be better partners and stuff, and love languages just came up. And so, you know, we would ask each other, like, what's your love language? Like, how do you feel? How do you want to receive love? And how do you want to give love? And different things like that. And I think it's so interesting because we all fall like on like a spectrum with each one of those love languages. And it's never really completely the same. Like, even though me and her have some similarities in terms of like what we prefer in love languages, it's not really the same. And I think it's so interesting that we all have, you know, our own thing.
Absolutely. And like how each is like a different percentage of,
Mm-hmm.
because you can fall into each and
Yeah.
care more about one than the other. Yeah, totally. And I ended up reading the Five Love Language book, almost the full thing. I've gone through all the love languages. That really is all that matters, right? So,
Yes, see.
but to get to talk about on this episode, and I knew basically the basics, really. Reading it definitely helped me understand more about it. But why don't you tell us about what the five love languages are?
So we have quality time. You know, that's just about making time for the person that, you know, family, friends, whatever, you know, just spending that time, carving out that time so that you can just spend it with those people. No distractions, just really having a good time together. Acts of service, that's basically, you know, you're making somebody life easier. Maybe it's, you know, washing the dishes when you see that your partner is busy and they normally wash the dishes, but they can't get to it today. Words of affirmation, that's just like when, you know, you're telling some positive things like complimenting people or encouraging them in whatever that they're, you know, doing, then receiving gifts. You know, just buying gifts, buying them little sweet little things that are meaningful. And physical touch, that's just not sexual, but more like, you know, I just like holding hands. I want to sit next to you and put my arm around you know, that type of thing.
I want a hug.
Yeah, like a hug, just a good
Yes.
hug. Yes.
And we can dive into each and kind of talk a little bit about them, but do you want to kind of talk about what ours are? Did you get to retake the test?
Yes, I did take the test again.
All right,
I
I'm going to
did.
grab my results. You
Okay,
go
yeah,
ahead and start with yours if you have them handy.
you get them right here. Okay, so my highest one, of course, which did not surprise me, it was quality time. Yeah, quality time at 37%. Definitely not surprised at that.
That's the same for me.
Is it really?
37.
Yes,
Watch your
see?
whole thing be the same.
It probably will. Okay, second, I have acts of service at 23%. And then I have words of affirmation at 20%, receiving gifts at 13%, and physical touch at 7%. And I'm not gonna lie, the physical touch at 7% shocked me because when I like did it on my own without taking the test, I was just like, this is what I think it would be. Physical touch was like my second one. So it shocked me that it was at 7%, but yeah.
See, we have the same thing except switch words of affirmation and acts of service. So my second is words of affirmation. But now I realize all the percentages must be the same because it went 37, 23, 20, 13, 7
Okay,
for
okay.
me. But physical touch is 7% for me too, but that comes to no surprise for me. Like I'm definitely like
Really?
yes, and I'm just I don't know, I'm so weird with it, like especially when I'm really overly emotional, I'm like, don't touch me. But like then when I do like get a hug or I do hug, like it does make me feel better. I think it's like
Yeah.
my first instinct is to like handle myself on my own.
I don't know. I mean, of course I have my moments when I just want to be left alone, but I physical touch just brings on like this feeling, like this, I don't even know how to describe it, but like I feel so loved in those moments, especially when like, you know, after an argument or something with a partner and you know, they come back and they apologize and whatever, we're talking. And you know, we hug or we cuddle or whatever it is, like that like really does something for me. I don't know why, but it does.
It's like a reconnect.
Yes. That's why that 7%, that you know, being my last one, I was really shocked, but you know.
Well, I mean, we're gonna talk at the end about the criticisms behind the five love languages, right? And one of them could definitely be that we still view that very important. Like if you don't have any physical touch, like if you're not holding each other's hands or giving each other hugs and stuff like that, like that you need that for a connection.
Yeah, most definitely.
But like it's for sure, it made sense for it to be at the bottom for me, even though I do value it. It's still not as valuable to me. So like I feel like gifts aren't like that valuable to me either. I feel like
Same. I would have put gift giving at the
at the
end.
end, yeah,
I
like
would have.
I mean, is it cute? Like, if I get something thoughtful out of random, like, yeah, I mean, of course. I don't know. I feel like they gave really random. I don't know if you hear that. That's my husband's alarm. So,
Oh no, I didn't hear
sorry.
anything.
What was I saying? Oh, a random gift or something. Yeah, that's cute. I feel like they didn't add enough like physical touch questions.
Agreed.
And like the ones
Agreed.
that it put it against, it's like, well, obviously I'm gonna pick the other thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that was my issue because it would be like one of the physical touch questions like I remember like them having is holding my hand in public or whatever. What if I don't like PDA, but I do like for you to hold my hand at home? You know what I'm saying? Like, of
Right.
course I'm gonna choose the other option if I don't like PDA. So
Right.
yeah, I feel like it wasn't enough. It wasn't a lot of good physical touch ones.
You don't like PDA either.
Well, I don't have a problem with PDA. I don't like
Like for yourself.
I don't like aggressive PDA or like where it's just too much, like you should not be doing it in public. But like a little
The
peck
same
on the
way.
lip, you know, I could do that.
Well, anyway, so maybe we can go in the order of our rankings of our love languages. Okay, so quality time, we can start there and talk a little bit about her. Let's see. Okay, I read the book and I highlighted some of the things that I found interesting in each section. We can kind of like talk about it. So this one is so me, it's not even funny. And for the longest time, I thought it was words of affirmation for me that was my top. And I think it's because Craig gives it to me all the time. Like he just naturally is really good at giving words of affirmation. So he's always saying how proud he is of me or like how beautiful I look and like and
Yes,
I
I love
appreciate it
that.
yes, and I love it so much. And I think it's because of how much I feel like that has helped me, that that was my like top. And then I also realized that like I ask a lot of the time that we go do things and that we spend time together. And so that was
Yes.
the one that like wasn't being met as much. Like we spend time together, but it's more the watching things together and not as much talking and sitting and talking full attention together or going out
Yes.
and doing things together. And so this first thing I highlighted says, by quality time, I mean giving someone your undivided attention. I don't mean sitting on the couch watching television together. When you spend time that way, Netflix or HBO has your attention, not your spouse.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That is very factual.
And like it totally resonated because, and I think a lot of people can relate to this too, is well, we're always together. We live together. We're always spending time together. But like quality time, like there's got to be some quality to that time, like all our spending together.
That's what I'm saying. Like when we spending that time, it's about us, not necessarily about what it is we're doing, but like about us having that bonding time, really talking, just really being there for each other.
Yes, absolutely. And
And you
like
can't fully do that if you watching Netflix.
looking in each other's eyes. Like our phones and TV just, I feel like it's made me worse with eye contact over time. And so like that, I realize how much that, how meaningful that can be, just making eye contact.
Yeah, I know for me that like it does a lot for me. I just really like love when people look me in the eye, especially if it's, you know, we having a deep conversation, we're talking about something intellectual, whatever it is. It just like it lights me up. It makes me feel like you're paying attention to me. You're listening to what I have to say. You're in the moment. And that's what I like my quality time to be about. You and me being in this moment together.
Phones down.
Phones down. Yes.
And on silence. Let's see. Oh, this one I highlighted too because this was interesting. Have you ever noticed that in a restaurant, you can almost always tell the difference between a dating couple and a married couple? Dating couples look at each other and talk. Married couples sit there and gaze around the restaurant. You'd think they were there to eat.
Actually, yeah. I don't think I've ever put it in words, but
Yeah, it's almost like what else do we talk about? We know everything about each other, but honestly, like every day is different and every emotion you have during that day is different.
I agree. I
And
agree. I think people in marriages kind of become a little desensitized to those extra things, like really talking about their day and what did they enjoy, whatever it is. And of course, when you're dating, those are the things, of course, you got to talk about, to really get to know each other. So, yeah, I don't know. Me and my friends, we say all the time, like, we're constantly changing. We're changing every day from month to month. So I feel like just because you asked me how I was, 2 weeks ago, that doesn't mean I'm the same way now.
I change every day.
Thank you.
And
Thank
maybe every
you.
hour sometimes. Yeah,
I'm trying to tell you.
maybe check
It's
in
just
on people.
about, learning and growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, it's hard because I know sometimes I have trouble communicating, especially when I'm not doing well, like mentally. When my mental health isn't being taken care of, when I'm not participating in any form of self-care. I will just zone into my phone and I don't pay attention to communicating. I don't really pay attention to what I'm feeling. I don't really check in or self-reflect. And so Craig will be like, "Hey, is everything okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna believe you, but I don't believe you."
Like, I'm gonna leave you alone for right now because you might need the process, but
Yeah.
we're gonna come back to this.
But like, let this serve as a check-in that maybe you need to check in. Yeah. So this is a good point. So he says that quality conversation is really important to quality time. And quality conversation is very different from words of affirmation. So it's not just about like giving that person compliments or like giving them, I don't know, encouragement. It's also about just, talking about what's going on, checking in on each other's current situation in life and things like that.
So more of like the, leaning towards more of like intellectual conversations, like really getting to understand your perspective on such and such topic, or, just like giving some substance,
Yes.
something, other than like, oh, you look cute today. 'Cause like, I mean, yeah, you could say I look cute, but like, where's the conversation in that? Because it kind of ends after, oh, you look good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which yes, absolutely. It's kind of like listen to this Reddit post that I found and let's discuss about our
Right.
opinions
See,
on this.
yes, those are the people that I vibe with the most, the people that I can talk to about anything.
Say less. I'm starting to send you Reddit stories that I find. I get into those like deep
Oh,
holes.
girl, please do.
Okay. This is really important, especially when it comes to just having a partner in general. I think a lot of times when people vent to their partner, the partner's reaction is to give advice.
Yes, I agree.
Naturally. And this little section is one of Dr. Gary Chapman's patient's clients that came to him about his relationship. And he said, "Now I realize that she didn't want advice. When she told me about her struggles at work, she wanted sympathy. She wanted me to listen, to give her attention, to let her know that I could understand the hurt, the stress, the pressure. She wanted to know that I loved her and that I was with her. She didn't want advice. She just wanted to know that I understood, but I never tried to understand. I was too busy giving advice, and now she's gone."
Yes, see, I love that so much because I have my own stories about that. And this is within friendships. Like I would go to them and I would like vent to certain friends about certain things. And because I'm normally a person that like tries to handle everything myself. So when I do finally go to somebody and they're on that advice giving kick, because at first I didn't really know what it was that I needed. I just know that what they were giving, I didn't receive it well and I didn't like it. And after thinking about it and like talking to my cousin, I realized I didn't want you to give me advice. I wanted you to listen to me and validate my experience, not give me advice. And yeah, that's like one of my things, because one of my friends did it to me yesterday. Like I was talking about my experience at internship, and she goes on, you got to advocate for yourself. You have to do this. You got to do this. And I was just like, this is not like what I wanted to vent. Like I specifically said, like I have to vent. I didn't say I need advice.
See, you even started it with it.
Yeah, I said I have to vent, not advice. But yeah,
Yeah, I
I have
totally get that.
experience.
And you know who I feel like does it a lot? Are like adults. Because they feel like they have the answer for everything, which I mean, I can understand to an extent, right? It's almost like you forget that some people just need space, really. So.
I don't know. I don't like the unsolicited advice thing. And I, because I don't do that to other people. I know when people come to me advice, and I know when people come to me just to vent. And I allow it to be just that. Until they say, "Can you give me advice on that?" Then I'll say, whatever. But if I just know they came to vent, like I'm just like, yeah, I mean, that's a valid experience. Like I would feel that way too if somebody was to do that. That's what I'd be wanting to hear when I come for, venting. But
And even if like if your first instinct is to give advice, so like I feel like I used to be that way because that's kind of just like how my family was, and they gave unsolicited advice or just like kind of invalidated in certain ways, right? And I learned to just say like, are you venting or are you looking for advice? You know, like if that person doesn't let you know, like you feel free to ask them because sometimes they're gonna say, yeah, I love your opinion on it. Or no, I'm just wanting to vent and let them have that. You
Thank
can,
you.
yeah, ask.
Yeah. Because a lot of times, specifically for me, I know what I should do about it, but I just want to vent. I don't need advice. I know what I'm going to do about the situation. I just want to get it off my chest.
Like I know I shouldn't be here, or I know I shouldn't do this, or I know this, whatever, I know the situation. Like I'm just annoyed.
Yeah, because ain't nothing worse than somebody telling you what you already know. Like, that's just aggravating. Like, I know this. I just came to vent to my friend.
Just put like tape.
Yeah, got to.
Oh, okay. So let me just say this book is definitely so Dr. Gary Chapman is a Christian counselor, or I don't know if he got his PhD in like in psych. I don't know. I don't know if he's a psychologist now, whatever. But he's definitely more Christian based, so this is more Christian based, okay? And there are some things that I don't really agree with the wording and like the lack of representation within it. Like it's very much hetero couples that I'm reading in here. And some semi-sexist views in here as well. And let me read you a little snippet of that right now. So he calls there's two different types of personalities. One is called the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is let's see. It the Dead Sea receives, but it does not give. This personality type receives many emotions, experiences, and thoughts throughout the day. They have a large reservoir where they store their information, and that they are perfectly happy to not talk. So if you ask the Dead Sea, what's wrong? Why aren't you talking tonight? He will probably answer, nothing's wrong. What makes you think that something's wrong? And then you have the babbling brook. And the
Oh my
babbling
God.
brook, whatever enters into the eye gate or the eye ear gate comes out the mouth gate, and there are seldom 60 seconds between the two. Whatever they see, whatever they hear, they tell. In fact, if no one is at home to talk to, they will call someone else. And then let's see. If you are a Dead Sea and you date a babbling brook, You will have a wonderful evening. You don't have to think, how will I get the conversation started tonight? How will I keep the conversation flowing? In fact, you don't have to think at all. All you have to do is nod your head and say, uh-huh. And she will fill up the whole evening and you will go home saying, what a wonderful person.
Oh, wow. Okay. I definitely get where, you know, the sexist stuff comes in.
So she's a babbler. And we should leave it at that. But so just take this information with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some totally good parts of advice, like what we talked about earlier, like the few things we talked about highlighted. And there are things that I like in here, but just recognize that there are some very hidden things in here as well.
Yeah. I hate when people make books like that about their opinions and not, you know, the facts, but whatever.
But society and world we live in.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. At the end of each chapter of the love language, they give some like advice to help. And I thought this one was helpful. It's ask your spouse for a list of 5 activities that they would enjoy doing with you. Don't assume you know. Make plans to do one of them each month for the next 5 months. If money is an issue, space the freebies between the we can't afford these events.
Okay.
And that like spoke that to me in grad school language, if you know what I'm saying.
Trust me, I do. I do.
Okay, so what do you think about that chapter, quality time? Kind of very skimmed it, but.
I mean, I think there were a lot of good things, especially the spending quality time together, like watching Netflix and stuff. Like, that's not actually quality time. Like, I definitely agree. You know, we're spending most of our time watching the movie or show or whatever we're doing. Like, I don't mind if there's a TV show or music on in the background, but I like to just talk. So like, you know, recently reconnected with one of my exes. That's a whole nother story. But we were laying in the bed and we were trying to watch a TV show or something, but we just started talking and we just started having like this great conversation. And that's what I call quality time. You know, just laying there, being there, and just discussing whatever it is that comes up. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed that makes me feel heard, make me feel listened to. Yeah, I don't know. Quality time, it definitely belongs at the top for me. Love that.
I wonder if like a lot of counselors really enjoy quality time. And I say that because we, as in our job, like leave space so much for others that it's nice when others leave space for us.
Yes. Because I feel like that's me even outside of counseling and stuff. Like I feel like I'm so there for everybody. And when somebody's finally just there and present with me in the moment, like I appreciate that so much because I'm such a give. I never receive from people. And when I finally do, I'm like, okay, this is what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, that's something he discusses in here as well. It's called your love tank. And so when someone's love tank is empty, like, so he'll ask his clients to scale their love tank, 0 being completely empty and 10 being overflowing with love. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helps your partner gauge like how much love language they need to kind of speak into their partner to fill their tank.
Okay, I love that. Cause I'm gonna write that down,
right?
Love tank. I love that. Well, my love tank is definitely like on a 4 right now.
Well, we're spending quality time together now.
And we are.
So at the end, I expect a 10. No, I feel that though. I feel like some days, like you can have a 10 one day and then a 4.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
So it quickly can go, but it can quickly be refilled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing with words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. And this totally can be heard to parents as well as partners in relationships. Words of affirmation doesn't mean you're praising somebody and you're giving them this big head. Like, I don't know why people tend to think like, they know I love them. They know I think they're the most wonderful person in the world. Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell them instead?
Exactly.
Because you don't know how many times they doubt that and need to hear it and just be reassured of that. Right? And like, why wouldn't you want them to know all the time? Just as a reminder. Like, and I'm not trying to throw shade or judge anyone out there. I'm saying like it's important to not minimize the importance of telling your loved one that you love them
Yeah.
and why
Or
they're
just
important.
assume that they already know this. What if they don't?
Yeah. Like, so what? You've been married for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. That spark
Yeah.
can fade for someone at any time. And
Exactly.
yeah, it's important that you let them know that it hasn't.
I love
So
that.
this is kind of something they talk a lot about in this section. And okay, so I'm just going to read this one part. Love doesn't keep a score of wrongs. Love doesn't bring up past failures. None of us is perfect. In marriage, we do not always do the best or right things, and same for just dating. We have sometimes done and said hurtful things to our spouses. We cannot erase the past. We can only confess it and agree that it was wrong. We can ask for forgiveness and try to act differently in the future. Having confessed my failure and asked forgiveness, I can do nothing more to mitigate the hurt it may have caused my spouse. When I have been wronged by my spouse and she has painfully confessed it and requested forgiveness, I have the option of justice or forgiveness. So I thought that was powerful because a relationship that I know of does use like judgment and justice or like revenge type speak to each other. And I feel like that's what this was speaking to. It's almost like if you're gonna forgive, then forgive. What like the only it's really also hurting you too if you're gonna hold on to something and use it against them when they're coming to you and like genuine sorry.
Yes.
I just thought that was important.
It's very important.
And then this too, love makes requests, not demands. When I demand things from my spouse, I become a parent and she was a child.
Yes, I love that so much.
Yes. Like that is something that we learn about in counseling in grad school. We learn that that can quickly change. And once that dynamic starts, it's really hard to recognize and undo if you don't have the like the knowledge that it's happening.
That's very factual.
Especially empty nesters, right when the empty nest hits, is what I hear when that dynamic happens the most.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking about some things,
Well, you know, this book is supposed to bring up some things, I think.
yeah.
When, however, you make demands, you have become not a lover, but a tyrant. Your spouse will feel not affirmed, but belittled.
Yes. Yes.
And
I
we.
don't, I personally, I'm sorry. I don't like people because I feel like I had to like break away from that. And this is not even in a relationship, but like my parents, my mom and I relationship, like I had to force her to treat me like an adult. Like, don't talk to me like you have to do this and this is what it is. And like, no, you can ask me if, do you want to like try this or do you want to do this? But don't tell me this is what I'm gonna do. And granted, love my mom, great mom, but I think it was just difficult for her to see me growing up, to see me kind of moving on and creating my own life separate from her. But I still don't think that's an excuse to keep doing it.
That's so
But
valid.
yeah.
And it's and as I know it's hard for parents to kind of like now see your child who you've raised from little to old, right? And understand that now they are an adult and it's hard to kind of switch that. I also believe that even teenagers, when they're still under your roof, deserve a level of respect that
Oh,
a
most
lot of time they're
definitely.
not given because
Yeah.
they're still kids. And it's like, yeah, but do kids not deserve respect? Like, I don't, you know, so I think it's easy to be become demanding and it's harder to like sit and work with somebody. Like, and I get that, but that's just part of the job, right?
Yeah. Because I think that if parents were to start in while their kids were teenagers, I think that would make it easier to transition
Yep.
into adulthood for the children, you know?
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And exactly this too. We cannot get emotional love by way of demand. My spouse may, in fact, comply with my demands, but it is not an expression of love. It is an act of fear or guilt or some other emotion, but not love.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I know for a fact that, you know, just me personally in situations like you know, it would be certain things that maybe I wouldn't want to do or you know, whatever it is, but I didn't want to create issues in our relationship. So I'm just like, okay, I'll just do it. It's it and that wasn't out of love. It was just more out of I have this obligation to keep my relationship drama free. That's what that was about. It wasn't about love.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I think that people like forget that actually, I was talking to somebody today about something like that. Someone called about wanting some advice, and they said, you know, I keep asking this person to do this, and it doesn't it, when it was worded, it didn't seem like there was asking anymore at this point. It was now like you need to do this or it's done. And at that point, it's like if you're having to ask like this is very important to you, and you've sat down and said that, like you got to make the decision. Like you can't force someone to do it, because in the end, does that hold meaning anymore?
Yeah. One of those things in life that you cannot control is other people. So you need to make the best decision for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I said too. I was like, I mean, like at the end of the day, you've already said your piece with that. You can't, you know, can't keep hoping in that they'll change their mind and do it. And then at the end of the day, was that their decision?
Especially when you're not seeing change at all.
Yep.
You know, even them attempting to change, like.
And I know this seems like, where's the words of affirmation? This comes into just how you speak to your spouse in here. And that was a big chunk in this, and I did appreciate that they talked about that, because I feel like I haven't read anything with just how you speak to your spouse. But I really did appreciate that. But in here it also says, psychologist William James said that possibly the deepest human need is the need to feel appreciated. And there is your words of affirmation. Is just feeling appreciated, like that your partner sees everything that you're doing for them, and that it's not just passing by without recognition. So that's all I have highlighted for that chapter. What else would you like to add to the words of affirmation?
I feel like that's basically it. Just like for me, I do enjoy hearing words of affirmation or hearing how, you know, what I did helped somebody or whatever, because it makes you feel valued. And a lot of times, I mean, yeah, people can show it, but sometimes it feels good to hear it, you know? I want to know that what I'm doing, like, you appreciate. I want to know that you appreciate me as a person. And sometimes people don't really hear that in relationships, and you know, I'm not going to speak on nobody else's business, but a lot of times it's just, you know, them doing and doing and doing and never hearing, like, oh, I'm so appreciative of what, you know, you did for me. You made this easier or whatever the case may be. You don't, well, they didn't get that a lot, so.
And like some it can be anything. Like don't sit and tell me that there's nothing that this person's doing in your life that you can't compliment, like unless they're really just like offering nothing to the partnership, which is like I would have to imagine very rare and a problem on its own. Like even if it's, thank you so much for taking the trash out today. I know you had a really hard day today, and I just appreciate you know, doing that. And or thank you so much for cooking the chicken tonight, like anything like that you see. So now we can move on to acts of service. And this is exactly what you were saying. Such actions as cooking a meal, setting a table, emptying the dishwasher, vacuuming, changing the baby's diaper, picking up a prescription, keeping the car in operating condition, paying the bills, trimming the shrubs, walking the dog, and dealing with landlords and insurance companies are all acts of service.
They are. And
And
I
all of them
appreciate
definitely,
them.
yeah, absolutely. Oh, my favorite is if my car gas tank is filled when I get in there.
Oh my God. See, that's why I need to be in a relationship right now, because I was talking to one of my friends and she was telling me about her cousin and how he goes and drives to her house and warms up her car in the morning.
Ooh.
If she needs to get needs gas, he'll take her car to the gas station and bring it back so she can get in the car and go to work. Do you know what that would do for me if somebody was to do that for me?
I feel like I'm about to
You
cry
going
just
out
thinking
of
about
your
that.
way for real to make life easier. I love that.
It's so
I love that.
sweet. It's so thoughtful. That is such a way to show someone that you're thinking of them. It's
Yes.
absolutely like, oh, when cleaning your car for you, like, why is a car like cars are such a pain in the ass? Like,
They are.
all of a sudden, your oil needs to be changed, really? Like, when I'm having a crap week and have no money, that's when you're gonna pick your light to go off? I'm
That's
just
when
saying.
they want to create all the issues.
Absolutely.
The car does not care about us, okay? They want us to
Uh-uh.
care about it.
A thousand percent.
And to have somebody that's willing to go handle all of that when they see that you're busy, be like, oh, babe, just take my car today because I know you need some, oil changes and a tune-up or what. See, I would love that.
See, like, it's so funny that I don't know. See, that makes sense. It's your second, but and I understand why words are my second, but I feel like this could also be up there just specifically for the car loan.
Trust and believe, I understand because I'm right there with the car thing.
This kind of goes into what we were talking about in words of affirmation with treating how you treat your spouse. And I think it's so important to read because I just love how he words it. So if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have served him for 20 years. I have waited on him hand and foot. I have been his doormat while he ignored me, mistreated me, and humiliated me in front of my friends and family. I don't hate him. I wish him no ill, but I resent him and I no longer wish to live with him. That wife has performed acts of service for 20 years, but they have never been expressions of love. They were done out of fear, guilt, and resentment. A doormat is an inanimate object. You can wipe your feet on it, step on it, kick it around, or whatever you like. It has no will of its own. It can be your servant, but not your lover. When we treat our spouses as objects, we preclude the possibility of love. Manipulation by guilt is, so if you were a good spouse, you would do this for me, is not the language of love. Coercion by fear, you will do this or you will be sorry, is alien to love. No person should ever be a doormat. We may allow ourselves to be used, but we are in fact creatures of emotion, thoughts, and desires, and we have the ability to make decisions and take action. Allowing oneself to be used or manipulated by another is not an act of love. It is, in fact, an act of treason. You are allowing him or her to develop inhumane habits. Love says, I love you too much to let you treat me this way. It is not good for you or me.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. That was, oh, yeah, that was some powerful. A doormat.
And like, I love you so much that I won't let you treat me this way because that's not good for you as a person. God, not good. Doesn't fill your soul, you know?
Yeah. I've seen, people in relationships go through that where they perform acts of service all the time because of course, and not being sexist or anything, but it's more than likely be the husband that'll allow the wife to perform all of those different acts of service and shows no appreciation because these are things that you're obligated to do as a wife. So why should I thank you for something that you're supposed to do? That drives me up the wall.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Let's leave those views back in forever and a half ago. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. We're in a different time. We're appreciating everybody for everything that they bring to the table. We're all not obligated to do anything, except if you have kids, you're obligated to take care of them. That's it.
Yes.
That is all.
And you know, like, first off, no one is waking up in the morning. Well, okay, I'll take that back. I'm sure there are some people, but most people are not waking up in the morning saying, like, you know what I want to do today? I want to clean the whole house. And you know what else I want to do? I want to do all the chores I've been putting off. I'm just so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need anyone else to see or appreciate that, because most people don't want to do them. And finding like what works for you, like, so Craig hates the dishes, like, just, I guess it's like food, and I get that.
Me too, Craig. I hate it too.
But like, for me, it doesn't bother me, so I do that, he does the litter. Fair trade-off, I'll take it. I vacuum, he does the trash every night. I only have to vacuum like twice a week, right? Once a week, twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
Fair trade-off. Honestly, I might be winning that one, but.
You are.
But I'm the deep cleaner too. So like once a week, I like get deep into stuff, which I need for my own mind. But like, it's those trade-offs. And sometimes I think people will do the, well, I'll do the dishes this time, you do them next time. Like I feel like those never work, because it's the, I did them last time. No, I did them last
they
time.
Don't.
Well, just keep it as your job and trade off for a job you don't like.
Yes, because that was an issue with me and my cousin when we were roommates. We used to trade it off. Like, you know, you do the dishes this time, I'll do it next time. Or you take out the trash, I'll take it out next time. And that was just like an issue.
Yeah.
Because like, she would think, oh, I did the dishes. Like, I'm like, no, I just did the dishes last night. And, you know, it would be not like we would get into an argument, but like there's this disagreement of who did it last.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have to be there. It's be, you do the dishes, I just take out the trash.
It's so much easier that way.
Yeah.
Because you can't say like, you didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just a suggestion. I've suggested that to so many people ever since I realized how well that works. So much better.
Way better.
But yeah, so I thought that passage was really just powerful in how it spoke about how you love and respect your spouse. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's important knowing that your spouse is not you or your partner is not you. That's like, you're two separate beings that have two separate needs.
Yes.
And check in with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So gifts are like, I think people who hear that initially, they think, oh, this person is like greedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the one that you love the most. And it's not really about that. Like these gifts don't really even need monetary value a lot of the mm-hmm. time. It's more that I was out at the store and I was thinking of you and I got you your favorite candy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I was one of those people who kind of thought like, oh, you're just a gold digger. I did.
I mean, you can be.
Yeah, most definitely. But, you know, learning more, especially doing a little more research for this podcast episode, I was just like, okay, I kind of see it differently now. Because even in some of the questions that they would ask on the quiz about gift giving, it sounded more like, oh, like I just thought of my partner, like, let me get this for them. You know, they would love if I got this, you know, one little thing, this mug that has whatever on it, you know, just that kind of thing. But I used to think about it in a sense of, my partner wants a Gucci bag and she knows I can't afford it, but I guess I'm gonna get it anyway. Yeah. It's the thing.
I can't afford this life. So I can't afford this love language.
Yeah, no. You have to go try out a new one, okay? Because this one is not working.
Dude, for real. I mean, I get that. Like, you know, it's funny because I think that's... Sometimes I feel like the love language we show is different than the love language we want to receive.
Oh my gosh. I wanted to talk about that because I definitely wrote that down. Yes, yes, and yes. I believe that 1,000%.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, so oftentimes, and what I noticed was people show People show love the way that they want to receive love and not the way their partner wants to receive love. Because, and then one of those reasons why I figured out people do that is because they're oftentimes their love language isn't being met in their relationship. So that's them trying to model that to their partner, saying, this is how I want to receive love, the way I'm giving it to you. But yeah, that, I think it's difficult, especially if you're not having a conversation about it and you just kind of winging it and like, okay, I'm gonna do this and hopefully he'll do this for me next time.
Yes. And that happens so much. And that also goes unseen on the other person's end. So just talk about it. Talk about it.
Because I feel like if you don't, then both of y'all needs to just be unmet, because you're trying to love him the way you want to be loved and he wants to be loved in a completely different way. You know, and he probably doing the same thing to you, you know?
And like, it's also important to look back at like your childhood and how you maybe even got the love language you got. Why is quality time important to me? It's probably because like I didn't have much when I was a child with my parents, right? Like things like that, or words of affirmation might be second because I didn't hear that a lot. I didn't hear a lot of encouragement or appreciation in those words. And that's why it's important to me. But you know what love language my dad showed a lot was gift giving. So I thought that was really important to me for a long time because that's how he showed his love and even still shows it. But I think that like I realized over time that's probably why it's so close to the bottom now for me.
Yes, 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 and yes. My mom always showed love by, you know, buying me different nice things and anything that I wanted, like she would get me. And so like material things don't like move me. Like it doesn't, not that I'm not appreciative of it, but it's not like, oh my God, like you bought me this. It's not like that all the time. I'm more, if you're going to buy me a gift, make it meaningful. You can go to the store and buy some construction paper and make me a Valentine's Day card from scratch. That would mean more to me than you going and spend $300, $400, $500 on whatever.
You know? Like tickets to something for us to go do together. Like if you're going to spend your money, it can hit our quality time love language.
Yes. Yes, we can do some. I'm telling you, one of my friends, and you might know her. She's in the program, Chelsea. You'll probably know her if you see her.
Okay.
But she was telling us about something she did with the guy she's talking to. She was gonna do a vision board by herself, and he didn't really know what vision boards were, and so she explained it to him, and he was like, "Oh, why don't we do that together?" Like. That type of thing, like that will like make my heart just grow.
You want to make a vision board together?
That's what I'm saying.
The cutest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That is what I'm saying. Like that kind of stuff, just that can be you know, giving me a gift. The gift, you buying all the stuff for the vision boards and we coming over and we spending this quality time together to build it. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm a simple person. I don't require a lot.
I agree. I think that like people hear these things and they think, you know, for a long time, it was that thing with like Craig and I. It was like, well, we're always hanging out, we're always watching things, and like it was hard for him to understand that, like, and honestly, I think it was hard for me to understand. Like I was like, I know we've been hanging out. I don't know. I just feel like I feel like I miss you. Like that, like, if you hear that word, like, I miss you, but like you're around that person a lot, like that might be a hint for you.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. I've had those experiences where I would be missing somebody that's laying right next to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
It is.
Because if you feel lonely in a room when you're laying next to somebody,
it's just telling you how present they was not being.
I'm glad we had that side like moment with that, because it check the one that you're giving. And sometimes, like, I remember at the beginning of our relationship, which was forever and a half ago, but I think my giving language was gifts, because that's kind of like how my dad showed to me, and like that's what I kind of did to Craig. And like But your love language can change over time. So, like,
Yes.
yeah, definitely don't be afraid to retake that quiz every now and then.
It's crazy you said that because I actually wrote that down too. Yeah.
What was yours before, if you don't mind me asking?
I think mine has always been like my top one has always been quality time. But I think the order of the other ones has changed over time. Receiving gifts just don't mean as much to me as, let's say, acts of service. You know, you doing something to make my life a little easier when you see I'm stressed about school or exam or whatever it is. Physical touch, I don't know why it's at the bottom, but I mean, I guess there's a reason for that. I don't know.
I think it's the
Maybe
quiz.
that has changed over time. I don't know.
I think it's the quiz. Honestly, like, you know you better than the quiz knows you.
Yeah, I would
If that's
assume it's
above
higher,
peeps.
but
Unless you're getting me a car.
I'm trying to take, look now.
Unless.
That I would love that.
What's with all the car conversations today? Are both of our cars about to break down? Mine is
Oh,
in a
girl.
crazy way.
I probably need the
And
oil change now.
I just got mine.
See, I know mine's about due then. I know it.
And I like when I tell you I drove on 0% for like a week or two.
Oh my God. No, okay. I'm not gonna lie. It was more like 2 to 3 weeks for me because I would just kind of forget. And I'm just like,
Until your
okay,
car's like,
I'm
please.
yes. Yes, I'm like, okay, I need to take care of this before my car stops on me and I don't have no transportation, so I had to handle it. But yeah, I'm bad at stuff like that. So if I had a partner that was good at that wouldn't mind doing that stuff, that would make my life so much easier.
The problem is people enable me and they're like, you're probably fine. And I'm like, oh. And that
My
just leaves me
friends
going for next week.
that don't know nothing about cars telling me, you good? I rode with my car for like a month on 0%. Girl, don't tell me that.
Don't tell me that because I will
Then my
too.
car breaks.
You're paying for
Thank you.
it if it
I will
breaks
risk it.
because I'm listening to you and your
Oh,
advice.
she definitely
This talks a little bit about how someone will be like, well, that doesn't come naturally to me. So, but what if the person who says, I'm not a gift giver, I didn't receive many gifts growing up, I never learned how to select gifts, it doesn't come naturally for me. Congratulations, you've just made the first discovery and becoming a great lover. And then it says, gift giving is one of the easiest love languages to learn. And I can totally imagine that's true.
Yeah,
Just
I think so.
set an alarm when you're on your way home, stop at a gas station.
It
Literally.
doesn't take much. Unless you have a gold digger.
that
Right,
is might take a little bit more.
yeah.
But then again, maybe something else is not really have a solid foundation anyway.
Yeah, pretty sure there's other issues, but you know.
Oh, and physical presence in the time of crisis is the most powerful gift you can give your spouse's primary love language if their primary love language is receiving gifts. So being physically there for someone during crisis, there was a part in here that was saying that this woman went to labor and like had their baby and like after she had the baby, the husband was like, all right, I'm going to play softball.
Excuse me.
And he was like, and so she held that on over his head for like ever, as she should. And then her mother died. And after the funeral, he went and played softball.
What? What?
So like they go on to talk about how he didn't understand why she was so upset. He had been there at her mother's house like the week or two for the whole time before she had passed to like, put do repairs in the house to be there for them. And then like once the funeral happened, it was like, okay, well, like, everything's kind of done. And thought that he did like all he could on his end. And like with when he had the baby or when she had the baby, he was so excited to tell his friends at softball and like, he thought he could take that time and like go share that and like And he was so excited to come back, and she like went off on him and like totally took away his happiness in that moment. But he didn't understand that she needed him there.
But that's where that communication piece comes in, because had they said that, he was excited to tell his friends, maybe she had felt different about it, possibly.
Or like a phone call.
Yeah, I was thinking like a group
Oh
FaceTime.
yeah. She probably was like so stunned, too. She was too stunned to speak.
Oh, I'm sure she was, because my mouth would have just flew wide open. I would
Like,
just
where are
be
you
like, "Yeah,
going?
you going to baseball, softball? What? I'm not understanding. Like, I just had your child." Sometimes you gotta laugh because they funny.
It's ridiculously
Because
funny.
what?
Okay, and now we are on touch, physical touch. So, just like Chavez talked about earlier, this is not just about sexual touch, and it can be included. Like, sometimes people feel very loved, and obviously that's a very emotional and connective moment with you and your partner. But it's outside of that. So if you're like, oh, mine's physical touch because I love sex and I just want to have sex with my partner all the time. I mean, there's probably like, do you want to hold their hand? Do you want to cuddle? If no, then that's probably not your.
Yeah, because you could just love sex and not the, wanting to be physically touching your partner all the time, like holding hands or hugging.
Yes. Like if you don't feel like you're lonely because you haven't gotten a hug or touch by your partner, if you feel like you're like super disconnected, then that's probably
Thank you. Thank you. Clear that up for the people in
right.
back.
Louder.
No, for
Okay.
real.
Okay, so love touches may be explicit and demand your full attention, such as in a back rub or sexual foreplay that goes into intercourse. On the other hand, love touches may be implicit and require only a moment, such as putting your hand on their shoulder as you pour a cup of coffee or rubbing your body against theirs as you pass in the kitchen. And if a back massage communicates love loudly to your spouse, then the time, money, and energy you spend in learning to be a good masseur or masseuse will be well invested.
Yeah. I love the passing in the kitchen, just touching.
I'm
I just,
here.
yeah, like I'm here. Like, I don't know. Makes me feel special. Makes me feel seen.
It's like a cup of hot cocoa.
Yeah. Like a little warm feeling.
Cozy. Love that. It is. Not me earlier being like, but speaking of, literally in this passage, he works with a couple that one is physical touch and one is quality time, and they can't seem to figure out why the other is like ignoring the other. Like they're just not wanting to even spend any time together. And Craig's, by the way, is physical touch. So it's so funny that that's my last one, poor thing. I really do try. But this really did make me understand him better when I read it. And it said, I felt that she loved me, but after we got married, there were times that I reached out to her physically and nothing. Maybe with her new job responsibilities, she was too tired. I don't know, but I took it personally. I felt that she didn't find me attractive. Then I decided I wouldn't even try because I didn't want to be rejected. So I waited to see how long it would be before she'd initiate a kiss or a touch or sexual intercourse. Once I waited for 6 weeks before she touched me at all, I couldn't stand it. My withdrawal was to stay away from the pain I felt when I was with her.
Wow.
That's how powerful physical touch can be for some people. And it says emotionally, they yearn for their spouse to reach out and touch them physically.
I can only imagine, like, not feeling seen or heard in those moments, because your needs aren't being met. 6 weeks is a long time.
Yeah, girl, where you at?
Like, seriously, are you
Like,
okay or are you not okay?
no time. Like, and maybe it's like very little where he's like not giving it the full credit to it. But even if that was like a no kiss for 6 weeks, that's a little wild to me. But that
Yeah, that's a very long time.
It's a really long.
'Cause I'm too affectionate to like go that long without touching my partner. Yeah, I just can't.
Which, like, again, like, no judgment if that's you listening. Like, some people are really uncomfortable with touch, you know? Like, and that's why it's really important to figure out if that's your partner's love language, because they can feel like very disconnected. And you can practice, you know, making your way to being more physically there for your partner. Like, there was a part in here that was like, give a hug like so many times a day. And like, that might not be reachable for some people or reasonable, whatever. But I think that if you try to, like, you know, give at least two hugs a day, like, and make sure to try to hold their hand or just sit closer when y'all do watch TV together, like, it builds up, right? And
Right,
make it in,
right.
like, being putting your full intention into it.
So I had a question for you. Being a person that doesn't, that's not that physical, or I forget how you described it, but do you think that is something that being in a relationship with somebody who does love physical touch, you've gotten better at over time?
I definitely have. And there are times when I get worse. Like if I feel like my mental health is getting worse, like, you can almost see the space in the bed getting wider, like, between us. And it feels harder during those times for me to close the space, because I almost get in this mindset of, I know that I'm doing it, and I feel guilty for pulling away in this way. And so then I avoid it even more. But I think it's me avoiding where I am mentally, that I don't feel like addressing that yet. And I know that that's getting affected. And I think that's why I feel guilty, is that, like, because I don't feel like, where I'm not ready to address my mental state, it's affecting him. But, like, definitely when I'm feeling good, when I'm back in it, like, it's much, much better.
Okay, so there's like this understanding between you two. So, whenever you're having your feelings and you having your mental health days, like he knows that, it's not because she doesn't want to be affectionate with me, it's because she's having her own things.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that.
And but, like, sometimes I know that they last longer than, like, those times will last longer than others. And, like, those are the times where he'll be like, hey, is everything good? And I'm like, yeah. Me so disconnected. Yeah, why? What's up? He's like, okay, I'm not gonna believe you. I'm gonna believe you, but I'm not really believing you. And we go from there. No, it's a really fun game.
I mean, you're learning, you're growing your relationships. And I think it'll be something that y'all get better with as time continues to pass.
Oh yeah. I mean, here's the thing, like, if that doesn't come naturally to you, right? Like, any of the love languages, it sometimes, like, it really does take being more thoughtful in it. Like, you really do have to, like, think to do it more, right? Because it doesn't just come naturally. I don't just reach out naturally. Like, I have to think about reaching out. I have to think about going in for a hug. And that's how it is in the beginning, until you get into that repetition and it becomes more easy. And then again, like, it'll get disconnected again, and then kind of start over a little, but it's faster. You get back in more quickly. Like, it's not like you're this long figuring it out again. But it's worth it, you know? Like, it's worth it to make my partner feel loved and know that I'm here and I'm hearing them and their needs.
Yeah, most definitely. I love that.
Again, like, this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, but to think about what you have requested from your spouse the most, or think about what your spouse has requested from you the most. So, like, I know a lot of the time I would be like, I really just want to, like, go to a farmer's market. Like, I want to go on a walk. I want to go get out of this house. Like, I just want to get out of the house. You know what I mean? Like, some days I don't want quality time here. I want to get out of here. And that's something that I've brought up, like, again and again, like, time and time again, that has been really important to me, is to just, I feel like my mix of quality time is also mixed with like my wanting to have meaning in life, like to do something with my day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel.
I would say yeah. A lot of times, like, I don't mind doing things in the house, but I also feel like you gotta date me. So take me on dates. You know, let's go do anything, whether it's going to the movie or we're just, like you said, going to a farmer's market. Like, let's just get out and let's do something together. Yeah, because I feel like some people can get too comfortable with doing things in the house that they don't ever want to leave the house. And I don't want that to be like the dynamic in my relationship going forward, where you feel like you don't have to date me. Yeah, we've been in a relationship for a while, but I still want you to take me out on dates.
And that's something they talk a lot about in this book too, is like, what, how did y'all treat each other when y'all were dating, like versus now that y'all are married, right? And he calls it courtship,
Okay,
which
courtship.
dating
It's real
not,
old fashioned.
so when you were dating, but kind of looking back to what y'all did for each other, what drew y'all together in the first place? Like, y'all had to have been hitting those love languages, right? Or what was the most meaningful that they did for you? And just sitting and talking with them about it, like, be able to communicate that with your spouse and be able to listen without taking things personally and thinking that this is an attack towards you and you being a bad partner.
You better speak a word, okay? Because I used to have to preach this to one of my friends. Like, she would just take everything so personal, that her partner would do. And I was just like, maybe, just maybe, you know, going out on a limb here. This isn't about you, you know? Just maybe.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah,
She
she.
was like, how dare you?
Right.
Whose
That is the truth,
side are
man.
you on?
Oh, she's definitely like that. Cause I be on the side of whatever I think is right, and if I don't know if that's gonna make you mad or not, but I'm just saying, like, you also have to see it from his point of view too.
Yep. That's how
Yeah.
I am too. I'm like, listen, I'm Switzerland in this, but like maybe.
Just maybe, you
Just maybe, please don't take my word for it. This is just a random thought. But yeah, that's so true. It's just be open and just give yourself some grace. Like you didn't know, right? Like, and even if like it was told to you, like learning it in a way that you hear it is different than just learning it. Does that make sense? Like where it really soaks in, and then you're like, oh, I can do that for you. That means a lot to you. I will make the changes to do that for you.
Because it takes time. You know, you can't change habits overnight.
Right.
So, you know, if you wasn't that physical person before, you're not just going to become physical the next day because your partner wants you to be physical.
Why was
That's
she talking about
something
me?
you have to it's just something you have to keep working at, you know? It's not gonna change. I mean, it's not gonna change overnight.
Speaking from experience.
I'm trying to tell you.
So let's kind of quickly just talk about some of the things that there's some criticisms towards the five love languages. Like, this isn't an answer to your marriage problems.
That is very correct.
If only we had that. You know what I mean? This isn't Gottman. Okay. Are you proud of me for
Yes, I love that. Just kind of
that?
slid on up in
I
there.
know. Not me and Gottman being like T for tight right now. But one of the things that it talks about is that it can become this tit for tat kind of thing. Well, I've been showing you physical touch, but I haven't gotten any quality time. Like, it's like this shouldn't be, it's kind of like when you give someone a gift, and not the love language gift giving, but like when you give a gift to someone and then you're like, well, I gave you this gift. It's like, but it's a gift, so like, was there something behind the gift? Like, is there a reason you gave me the gift? Like, this is literally how it should be. Like, you should be giving this without expectations. And then you should talk to them and say, like, hey, like, I really feel like my need isn't being met. Not like who's meeting it more.
Because sometimes it can become that. I've been doing this, and this, and you're not doing this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you were giving me gifts, but I didn't know you was giving me gifts because you wanted quality time. You
Right.
could have just said, like, Oh, you know, I've been wanting more quality time with you. Just communicate that.
Right. Or
Don't
like,
throw gifts at me and expect me to do what you want. You know, this is not a payment thing.
absolutely. What is my voice randomly? Absolutely. It shouldn't be this like IOU. That's not love.
And I feel
No.
like it can easily become that if people allow it.
Absolutely. And then okay, number two, love languages can change. We talked about that earlier. So make sure you check in. Oh yeah, love doesn't only have to be given to us by others, which I really like that because for a long time, like I felt like my quality, like Craig is very introverted. Like he's very introverted. So it's not, he's not gonna always want to go out and do things like I do. And I have friends that are very extroverted and want to go out and do random things. So like I can get my love tank filled also by just going and hanging with my friends outside, as long as Craig and I are also spending quality time in other ways. Like it doesn't have to, like, could you imagine like how much pressure that is for make sure your partner is loved all the time just by you?
Oh, girl.
You gotta fill that for yourself too.
That's what I'm saying, because I think personally, my top love language for me and myself is quality time. I love
Self-care.
to, yes, I love to spend time with me. Okay. I am one of my best friends.
And that's how it
Don't,
should be.
yeah.
It really should.
I don't know. And
Because
maybe it's because I'm slightly introverted. I feel like I'm an introvert, extrovert. I don't know.
I
I'm
think
in
I'm both too.
between.
It depends on the day.
It really does. It really does. So when I do want to spend time on myself, like I just do that. You know,
Yeah.
my friends know, like, oh, Chavez is just doing his thing today. You know, I might go get a pedicure. I might even buy myself a good gift while I'm spending time with myself, you know?
Absolutely. That this look, sometimes I'll just go walk through like Barnes and Noble with my Starbucks and I'm walking through and I may buy something, I may not. The fun of the
Right.
surprise is there.
Exactly.
We don't know where it's gonna lead.
Exactly.
It really is, it is like you can provide that for yourself and also get it from your partner. Don't expect it to like all come from them. Like you should really want to be your best friend, like you said.
Yes, I hate when people like try to rely on their partners to make them happy.
For
You should be
everything.
able to, you should be able to do some of that on your own.
Yeah, because then it becomes codependent.
Yes.
And then that's another episode.
Yeah.
The love languages aren't a cure-all, right? Kind of what we're saying is like this isn't the remedy for everything. There was one thing that this author of this article, who is Linda Carroll, she's an LMFT. She brought up this couple who the woman is like, you always disappear, and which made her feel abandoned. Okay, so like that alone is something that you could work on yourself, right? Is like, why do I feel abandoned? Like that's a big word to feel.
Very.
And there's a lot of things that when your love language isn't met that you're feeling that you can like go seek individual healing for. Right. And then maybe that love language might change or might be less giant to miss someone. I don't know how to, you know what I mean? Like that big to miss.
Right.
It feels more like, okay, this person loves me, but I need my love language met versus like this person doesn't love me. I'm abandoned.
Yeah. 'Cause I feel like to use a big word like that may have been some type of trauma growing up. Yeah.
And that's worth exploring. Like, don't just depend on love language. And love languages can get used as a quick fix. So like, which isn't always the best. Like it's great in a way, but like then it's like, okay, let's talk about again why that's important for you and like how we can incorporate that. That's not just gonna fix all of your relationship problems. Like communication, like you said, like that's a big one. Like trust, communication. And commitment, like those are the big trio there. And yeah, those are the main criticisms behind it. It's just to like make sure that you're communicating with your partner, you're not depending on them fully to meet this need. You're also depending on yourself and you're respecting your partner and you can just learn more about each other.
Yeah, because like I said before, we all learning, we all growing, each and every day. Like, we're not always going to be the same people that we were last year. So, just have those check-in with your partners, partners, I don't know, to each his own. But, have those check-ins and just really see where each other, where, you both are. Like we said, your love languages can change over time, and maybe quality time isn't at your top anymore. You really want to hear the words of affirmation because that was something the relationship was lacking over the last year. So, it's whatever, but I think just doing a lot of self-reflecting, trying to be better for yourself as well as your relationship and your partner will help you get past some of these issues. And it's not, like she said, it's not a remedy to every single situation that may go on in a relationship. But if you're having problems connecting, maybe this might be something that will help you. Maybe you're not loving on each other in a way that both of you want.
Because I mean, like, I'm not gonna feel full from gifts, right? Like, or things like that. Like, ask about their love tank,
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm gonna start using it.
right?
I
And
have
I'm
to.
curious if, like, to end today's episode, is just what maybe is something you took away from our conversation today.
Honestly, I'm gonna go two things. The love tank thing, I love that. Yeah, I just think that's gonna be a great way to really gauge where I am in my relationship with my friends, family, or partner. So I love that one. And the spending time, the Netflix and HBO thing, because I feel like a lot of times I used to think that, that would just suffice, just laying on a couch and watching a good TV show. But really, I really wanted more, something more connecting, like conversation. And I say this all the time. I'm just the type of person, I love to talk. I can talk. And if you're the type of person where I can jump from subject to subject and we just really dive into, because I love talking about feelings and stuff. That's why I wanted to do love languages. But I just love diving into those things. And yeah, and I feel like I didn't really know back then that, watching movies and stuff wasn't really fulfilling that need. And I think this episode and just learning more about love languages helped put some of that into perspective for me.
Yeah, I agree. Like that book, like reading it really did help me understand like why each one is important to somebody and the different ways you can express that love. I think people think of it as like very small niche things that you can do, but really it's like endless the things that you can
Yeah,
do.
most
And ask
definitely.
your partner what they want you to do. Like, don't just assume that you know what they want to do or what they want from you. Just ask, like, and be honest with your partner when they do ask.
Yeah, I love that.
That's unhealthy communication.
You better say that. And also, I learned that receiving gifts is not just for gold diggers, it's for
Yeah,
everybody.
honestly, listen, learn something new every day.
I
Thank
appreciate you
you.
for educating me.
Oh, anytime, anytime. And thank you so much for being on today. I'm so glad we finally got our episode. Please, please go follow Chavez and his amazing podcast. He has obviously, y'all can tell, an amazing podcast voice.
Oh.
And he has some wise words of wisdom to share with the world. So
See, that's that words of affirmation. I love
cool.
that. I love that.
Yes.
Honestly, I love when you say that I have a podcast voice because I'm like, oh, that makes me feel warm inside.
You do. You like ever since I met you, you do have this like really calm voice. Like it's just like a really relaxing voice. It's like what you want to wake up with your morning coffee to or you want to go to sleep to.
Oh, I love that.
So
Well, I appreciate you for having me on the podcast. I really do. We finally got our episode out and we did it.
we did it. Okay, and I'll see you Monday, tomorrow
Yes,
at school.
tomorrow. I can't wait to see y'all.
Feeling. Bye.
Bye, friend.
Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DREAMSCAPE, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.